Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans win 42-20 last night. The Tennessee Volunteers are bowl eligible. We'll get to that coming up in just a few minutes. And, of course, we just discussed the nasty, dirty play of the St. Louis Blues. Bunch of bad dudes on those Blues. They'll get a chance for some revenge tonight, and hopefully the Nashville Predators can stave that off. Corey Curtis joining us here, of course, from News 2, covering all things Titans as well as the rest of the city. Corey, how are you, sir? Welcome to the program. And how satisfied are you with a game plan for the Tennessee Titans that looked the way it's supposed to look? We thought that's what it was supposed to look like, and they went out and did what we thought they should do, which is run the football with Derrick Henry.
Well, I mean, exactly. They didn't outsmart themselves in this one. This is a Jaguars team that's now given up over 200 yards rushing against three consecutive opponents. And I think the best part is the Titans seem to be embracing, you know, what they are. I mean, under Mike Mularkey, they pounded the football and went play action and had some relative success. And, you know, they tried to reinvent themselves, and all they did was, you know, get their quarterback smoked, and now they seem to be understanding that they can pound the football and be play action and be successful, and that's what's happening. I mean, they've thrown 37 passes the last two games and still scored 77 points.
Yeah, they have. They this is the way you kind of sort of envisioned what this offense would look like. And I said this offense is playing as efficient and as balanced as they have played in a while. And when I mean balanced, I don't mean, you know, pass to run ratio. I mean what they're doing in the passing game and what they're doing in the run game complements one another. They're not throwing the ball 30 times and running it 30 times. They're throwing the ball 20 times, running it 30, but the yardage kind of matches up. Whether it's Tannehill having 14.9 yards per attempt or Derrick Henry right at, you know, 8-9 yards per carry. 7-8 yards per carry. This team is being efficient based upon the production they're putting out there on the field.
Well, when you see A.J. Brown, you know, in that, you know, 15-20 yard range of the defense over the middle and it's wide open, because the linebackers are all sucked up to stop the run. And, you know, that run game is creating those chunk plays. I mean, like you say, we saw a lot of that with Rishard Matthews, you know, his first two seasons, you know, as a Titan, getting in that section of the defense, you know, set up on play action. And they're doing, you know, the exact same type of things again. When everything is focused in on Derrick Henry and defenses are completely focused in on Derrick Henry, you have to be able to take advantage of that. And, you know, that's what they're doing now. You know, they're able to get chunk plays, you know, based on what they're able to do in the run game. And, you know, as Mike Vrabel would probably point out, you know, they can continue with the run game when they're not in first and 20 or second and 13 or second and 17. And, you know, they gave up 9 sacks the last time they played Jacksonville. How many times did they throw at that game? You know, they got behind and they threw a bunch of passes. This time they didn't get behind. You know, Harold Landry gets a sack, you know, that knocks him out of field goal range, keeps him out, you know, into a scoreless game. You know, it's complementary with the defense as well. When the defense comes up with the quick stops, they don't get away from who they are.
Corey Curtis joining us here, News 2. And how much do you make of Mike Vrabel's record with extra time to prepare? Now 4-0. In two seasons, either coming off the bye or coming off the mini bye, which is of course the game following the Thursday night. If you throw in the first game of the regular season, he's 5-1 with extra time to prepare. Is that enough for you to make anything of that, or is it too early to give him credit for that situation in his career?
Well, you know, I think to me they look different coming off of extra time, kind of like, you know, Ken Wisenhunt with an entire season off season in front of him. He manages to win those games. no, but I mean, seriously, they have looked better when they've had extra time. They do look, you know, ready, and they certainly looked ready, you know, for this football game. And it showed because they, you know, they controlled it. And look, I'm not taking away from this victory. This was the exact Jaguars team I expected to see. And that was the moment it got pushed, it rolled over like a carp in the Cumberland River and just floated at the top.
Now, which, because I'm trying to figure this out, Corey, with this defense, and I know they had a few guys injured last game, but they uncharacteristically gave up a bunch of yardage their last, you know, two or three games prior to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like you said, Jacksonville is they are turning into who many thought they would be right around this time. Not a good team, and the minute you kind of push them around, they will lay it down, and they did it yesterday. And they seem to always do it versus the Tennessee Titans late in the year. But where does this defense sit, you believe? Because, again, they started off great. They've had this lull. They played really good yesterday. Maybe it's a byproduct of who the Jacksonville Jaguars are, or do you think now they're starting to get that resurgence again? They're starting to get a second wind.
Well, I mean, I think I need to see it for more than one game against the Jags team that rolled over to know that everything's okay. Because, as you said, they were giving up more points. You know, the last four games headed into this one, they had given up at least 20 points, at least 30 in the last two. But they are a defense that continues to make plays. You know, like I said, the Harold Landry play was a big play. It's making plays. They have defensive backs making plays on the football. You know, that's the best game Leonard Fournette, I think, has had against them for Jacksonville, because he's had a tough time in his career with this team. So it's not quite as dominant, but also, you know, they're also not playing the teams that they played to start the season. You know, the Buffalo Bills, you know, were not a great offensive football team to start the year. You know, the Cleveland Browns were a mess to start the year. I forget who else they had, you know, the beginning of the season. You know, the Denver Broncos, not an awesome offensive football team. And they played some better offenses. And when you play some better offenses, you're going to give up some plays. But you have to continue to make plays and make plays, you know, that make the difference in the game. And they have done that.
Yeah, whether it's, you know, a goal line stand against the Chargers or some turnovers against the Buccaneers, you know, whatever, they've made a couple of big plays. Corey Curtis joining us here. What do you make of the job Arthur Smith has done during the bye and into this game against Jacksonville, and how much credit does he deserve for the game plan yesterday? Obviously, we understood what the strategy was going to be, but and then the offensive line. I mean, even on Derrick Henry's 74-yard run, Roger Saffold was just, you know, Olay, like dude just letting his dude run.
Yeah.
So what do you make? Is it just the opponent? Because the Chiefs and the Jags haven't exactly stopped the run and been efficient on defense in their last two wins. Or is there something to be said about the job that the offensive line and Arthur Smith are doing right now?
Well, you're absolutely right. On that long touchdown run, at the point of attack, it's just a complete whiff. And then the defensive lineman doesn't make the play. And, you know, and Derrick Henry deserves some credit for that. So, you know, if we're going to blame Arthur Smith when they don't score points, you have to give him credit when they do score points, you know, number one. But number two, it's easier to call plays when you're not in second and 13 and, you know, third and 15 and first and 20. You know, it's just easier to do that. And so when the offensive line doesn't get penalized and Derrick Henry doesn't get dropped for 3-yard losses or 4-yard losses, not because of anything Derrick Henry did, but because of, you know, massive, you know, gaps in the offensive line that have somehow come through, you know, it makes his job easier. It makes his job easier for sure. And when you're able to run the ball, you know, it makes your job easier because the run sets up the rest of the playbook. And, you know, they've been able to run the football and it sets up the rest of the playbook. You know, when you call drive starters, as they call them, and those are those run plays on first down that many hate so much, and they don't start the drive, it doesn't set things up. Because I remember the second half, it got started on that first drive, and I just remember, you know, they ran the first couple of plays. I think Tannehill converted a third down, and I said, man, play action would look awfully good on first down. And then the next play, I think, went to A.J. Brown for 36 yards because they went play action. They got a big chunk play, and they scored a couple plays later. You know, it sets up the whole playbook. It, you know, I'm not saying being an offensive coordinator is easy by any means, but it's easier when you can run the football.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. If you execute the plays that are called the way they are called, then it makes Arthur Smith look like a genius. But then when a guy or two whiffs and you get stopped in the backfield, we quickly, you know, get on Arthur Smith because we say that's a bad play. And it's amazing how you look at this team and they have the most negative plays in the National Football League. But yet still, you know, Derrick Henry, and I said this, Corey, and I wonder if you agree with this. I said since that Jacksonville Jaguar game, and they showed the graphics yesterday on television, since that Jacksonville Jaguar game, Derrick Henry last year, Derrick Henry has led the league in yardage, yards per carry, and touchdowns. I said earlier, he has become the best runner in the National Football League. Not the best running back, because we know what that encompasses. Run, catch the football, block, and everything else. But he has become the best runner in the National Football League.
Well, I think, you know, you can certainly make that claim. You know, we can talk about some of the other great backs in the league, but he has become the player that I wanted to see and become the player that everybody thought he was. You know, I was very tough on Derrick Henry for the first 2.5 years because I didn't think he was very good. He was constantly looking to bounce to the outside. He did not initiate contact. He lost yards on play. He didn't need to lose yards. He didn't maximize yards because he didn't maximize, you know, that push at the point of attack. And I didn't think he pressed the hole very hard. And then we hit that mid-season point last year. You know, reports came out that he was up for trade and nobody wanted him. And, you know, all of a sudden he comes out and, you know, the last 4 or 5 games, he's a different player. I everybody points to the Jacksonville game last year. And, you know, obviously that was a huge night for him. I still thought the Giants game was his best game of the season last year. He was a punishing runner. He was a preview of what we've seen this year, because I think this year he has been even better than what we saw to finish last year, because, you know, the big runs he's had this year all have something in common. Not a single one of them has been a bounce to the outside. It has started inside, and he has hit the hole, he has pressed the hole, and he has, you know, beaten that linebacker at the second tier and made his way down the field. And, you know, look at the touchdown run he had for 7 yards. What was he hit at the 2? And just continued to push, his offensive line come to help and help finish off that run for a touchdown. I mean, he initiates contact. He uses that 6'4", 240 pounds. He is a joy to watch play football. I mean, he really is. I mean, he is such a different player than he was the first 2.5 years. And I know people think he was awesome the first 2.5 years. But I defy them to tell me he is not a different football player now, and he is not a spectacular football player now to compare to then.
Oh, it's amazing in this world, in the football world, Corey, how fast revisionist history and how history changes and how people forget. Like, until he was benched against New England and very hard on himself, he was one player. He has been a very different player since that game and has been virtually unstoppable since then. Corey Curtis, News 2, thank you so much, man.
All right, you guys have a great day. Thanks.
Absolutely. Yep. Titans win 42-20 over the Jags. One other guy we have not yet talked about. We mentioned him there briefly with Corey Curtis, but there's one other guy that deserves a little love for the big win yesterday over the Jaguars. We'll get to that when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tennessee Volunteers get bowl eligible over the weekend with a road win against the Missouri Tigers. We'll get to that in just a second. Preds win 4-2, desperately needed 2 points against St. Louis on Saturday night. They get that, but in the process, very costly victory. They lose Victor Arvidsson for 4 to 6 weeks to a dirty cross-check from Robert Bortuzzo, who will be suspended 4 games, so will not be playing tonight, I don't believe, in the rematch. So we'll keep an eye on that, but that's a costly victory for the Nashville Predators. However, the Titans, obviously the main focus today, as they win 42-20 yesterday over Jacksonville in just complete and utter dominating fashion. In fact, the score not really even as close as it really should have been at one point, up, I think, 35-8 one time, or 35-3 at one point. If you miss any of the show, we have moved our on-demand audio to Apple and Spotify. Search Morning Drive in Apple or Spotify, or log on to thegamenashville.com. Find our daily audio, rate, review, and subscribe, Derek Mason. Rate, review, and subscribe. Can you do that for me?
RRS.
Cool. All right. So, offensively, I boil, generally speaking, when I look at football teams, college or pro, more so college because there's a larger gap in the statistical measures, but in the NFL, a lot of teams are much closer together, except for when you see a stat like this that really stands out. And yesterday, the Tennessee Titans averaged 9.1 yards per play, literally almost a first down per snap for the Tennessee Titans yesterday, which is exceptional. That is Kansas City Chiefs territory of efficiency on offense. And defensively, they gave up 4.7 yards per play. It's a very basic number. The reason yards per play is my favorite number is because I think it is the most clear-cut, cleanest way to evaluate how efficient your team was on offense and defense in a game. And yesterday, Arthur Smith and his offense was incredibly efficient. The Jacksonville offense with Nick Foles was not. How much credit does Arthur Smith and the offensive line get for yesterday? And is there actual signs of progress, Derek, in your mind when you look at the offensive line? I mean, I know they gave up 4 sacks against Kansas City. It wasn't like, you know, Tannehill's getting sacked too. Have you seen progress from the offensive line, and how much credit does Arthur Smith get for yesterday's win?
Yeah, I have seen some progress in what they're doing. If you look at the last 3 games, Tampa, Carolina, and the Chiefs, and I love, you know, you take PFF for what it's worth. I like to look at it because it gives you some of the analytics, and some people love it. Some people go even deeper and, you know, whatnot. But if you look at the analytics and the numbers based upon their offense and pass blocking, they have gotten better each and every game, from the Tampa game to Carolina game to the Kansas City Chiefs games. And I'm sure once the data comes in, or data, however you're going to pronounce it, comes in for the Jacksonville game, it will be high too. So they went from 61, 63 to 78 in pass blocking. Run blocking, they went from 60, 72 to 83. And I'm sure this game, will be, well, that was run. In run blocking, it went from 55, 52 to 67. So they took a dip against Carolina.
Which, that's the game they lost.
Yeah,
which
is the game they lost. But the game they won the prior week, the Chargers, they were 75. So they've gotten better, let's say, since the Chargers game. They've gotten better consistently on average, a better pass blocking and run blocking team. And if you look at what happened yesterday, it doesn't take, you know, a genius to figure out that they got better last game.
Only one sack allowed yesterday.
Exactly. So this team, is that defense. We assume that's a good defense, but they've given up a lot of yards in the run the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So they haven't been the defense that we are accustomed to seeing from the Jacksonville Jaguars. But against other defenses, they play well. So we just hope that this is a trend that continues, that, you know, Tannehill is not getting sacked but one time a game. Before, they were averaging 3 or 4. That the run blocking and pass blocking percentage is a lot better, or it keeps going up. And if that's the case, it's going to make it hard for teams to beat the Tennessee Titans, or teams to hone in on what they're doing. It's basically, if they keep on going at this rate, the only thing that's going to derail them is turnovers.
Yeah, and
maybe the defense not playing the way we have come to accustomed to seeing them play.
And we know Jacoby Brissett coming up this week is going to be a tough challenge. We know you're going to play Deshaun Watson twice. The Raiders were destroyed yesterday, so I'm not really sure what you're going to get out of Oakland in 2 weeks, but Derek Carr is a capable player, and of course, Drew Brees. So you're going to face some good offense. So the defense, I assume, will give up some yards, but by and large, this is about the offense. And if they play their game, and this is the thing about yesterday that makes me – I'm comforted by yesterday. It's not just, hey, a big win, a beer game where you kick your heels up and you drink a beer and you watch your team and you celebrate. because it's such an easy win, which has not happened much for this organization over the years. I just think it's when you see an obvious area of concern and weakness, and the blueprint is so obvious to even the most casual and sort of uninformed football fan, we could all sit there and say this team had given up almost 500 yards rushing in the last two games, the Jaguars' defense. Don't screw it up. Derrick Henry owns this team.
Mm-hmm.
He has owned this team because he grew up in the area around Jacksonville. It's his hometown team. He has dominated the Jaguars in his career. This organization owns that organization over the years. Don't overthink it. Don't do something too cute and too smart. And Arthur Smith didn't. He lined up and he ran the football. You know, Tannehill made a couple of big plays with his legs. A.J. Brown made a huge, you know, yards after catch play. But by and large, it was about Derrick Henry running the football, Darren Bates creating a big mistake on special teams, and they capitalized because Derrick Henry, the game plan was there for them. And I don't think they overthought it. I don't think they screwed it up. And I think that's what I like to see out of Arthur Smith. As Corey Curtis said, it's very simple. If you're going to blame him when they don't score points, you got to give him credit when they do. And that's as simple as it gets. The Titans scored a bunch of points yesterday, and they're 6-5, and they're tied for the final wild card spot and one game back of the Houston Texans in the AFC South. The Tennessee Volunteers got bowl eligible yesterday, and I couldn't really believe. I had an emotional response, Derek, and I couldn't believe the actual. I rewatched the game yesterday, and I could not believe the emotional response I was having watching the Tennessee Volunteers win against Missouri. We'll get to that when we return here on Morning Drive. But here's an equation you're really going to like. It all adds up to big savings. Let's do the math. Now you can get Xfinity Internet and Xfinity Mobile each for $30 a month. I'm not good at math, but I think that's $60 a month for both Internet and Mobile. That equals awesome Wi-Fi from America's best Internet provider and the best LTE on the go. It's the ultimate coverage solution. It's all in the numbers. You can save up to $400 a year on your wireless bill with Xfinity Mobile. And until December 8th, you can even get $250 cash back when you purchase an eligible smartphone. It's basically the perfect equation. Xfinity makes saving simple, easy, and awesome. Don't miss out on Xfinity Internet and Mobile, each for $30 a month. You'll get Internet now with up to 100 megabits per second download speed for 12 months with a one-year agreement, and Xfinity Mobile with 3 gigs of shared wireless data. Go to Xfinity.com/save big. That's Xfinity.com/save big. Call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay. Internet offer ends 12-8-19. New performance Internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After agreement term, regular rate supply. Wireless savings compare to averages of top providers. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Tennessee Volunteers win and get bowl eligible when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson. And the Tennessee Volunteers are going to a bowl, folks. I've even seen projections as high up in the ranks as the Outback Bowl for Tennessee, and this after an 0-2 start for Jeremy Pruitt and the Vols. They win 24-20 against Missouri over the weekend, and Jarrett Garantano throws for 415 yards, over 400 yards passing, which does not happen too often for a Tennessee Volunteer quarterback. The defense got some stops when they needed to. The receiving core was just absolutely fantastic. Juwan Jennings, I think, is putting himself into some rarefied territory amongst Tennessee Volunteers fans when it comes to sort of legacy. But here's something I wanted to run past you, Derek, and see what you think about this. I rewatched the game. So I had some family stuff I needed to do on Saturday evening. And so the game was kind of on at this gathering, this event we were at. I knew it was happening. I was keeping an eye on it, but I didn't. You know how it is when you're at a party; you can't really watch what's going
on.
You're
watching it, but you're not really watching.
Yeah, you got to be present for the things that are going on because it's important to people, and you know, whatever. We're not terrible human beings. So I knew what had happened, and I knew the score, I knew the game, I knew the numbers, I kind of knew the gist of it. But I wanted to go back and rewatch it yesterday. So I go back and I rewatch Tennessee Missouri yesterday, and at the end of the game, in a situation where Tennessee is an underdog on the road, after losing to Georgia State and BYU, trying to get to bowl eligibility, after missing out on bowl games the last two seasons, 5-7, and just an atrocious 4-8 the year before with Butch Jones, I am finding myself watching this game, Derek, going, I think Tennessee should have won by more. I think Tennessee gave some points away. I think Tennessee should have won that game by three touchdowns. And this is, again, I want to be clear, this is not a knock on Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee. This is actually a compliment. They have come so far, in my opinion, that now now when I watch them, I'm disappointed in a one-score, four-point win. I looked at that win and I said, I think it should have been more. I think it should have been better. And that's a weird emotion to have, considering where this Tennessee Volunteers team was just a couple of weeks ago at 1-3, 1-4, losing to Florida and Alabama and Georgia the way they did. And you're just looking at it going, and I watched that game and I said, man, they had 526 yards of offense. Missouri had 280. They basically doubled them up. And I'm going, you know what? I think Tennessee should have won by three touchdowns. And I couldn't believe I was feeling that way watching the game.
Well, this team has transformed themselves after the Alabama loss to a really good team. Are they in the class of the Floridas, the Georgias, obviously the West, those three or four top teams? No. I still think that they are maybe behind as a whole A&M right now.
I would say yes.
That's a tough, and A&M played a tough game versus Georgia, and we all knew that was going to happen. But if you're looking at where this program is at now, you can, and tell me if you believe this to be true, because I'm looking at the Vols and they're not better than LSU. They're not better than Alabama. They're not better than Auburn, A&M, Georgia, Florida.
It's a lot of teams.
But those are like the top teams.
Those are nationally
top teams. You're talking five teams, six teams that are ranked, basically.
Yeah.
But then after that, I can make an argument that Tennessee's the third best team, which their record says they are, but as a program now, they're becoming in the East. They're the third best team in the East.
Yep.
And in the conference, they're probably the eighth best team in the SEC based on what Jeremy is doing now with this talent that he has.
And the teams they would be in those conversations would be Kentucky, Missouri, Mississippi State, South Carolina. Well, you beat all of them.
Exactly.
You beat them all. And all the games we thought that were going to define this team in this season, including a road trip to Missouri, which at the beginning of the year we all thought no chance.
Exactly.
Even as 5, 6, 7 weeks had gone by, we were like, no chance. I've never seen a game change more. We talked about it on Friday. I've never seen a game change more over the course of a season when, I thought Tennessee, all right, listen, you'd be lucky to keep it close, blah, blah, blah. And now, I thought the wrong team was favored. I thought Tennessee should have been favored, and they went in there and won the game. And again, I'm like, to actually be disappointed with a four-point road win over Missouri, a team that has owned you, just was a strange emotion. It was a strange emotion because it means expectations have been elevated now. And that's a good thing for your program. We talk about this with the Preds all the time, the fact that the fans were pissed off about a losing streak and how terrible this team was playing, the Preds, over the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's a sign of building expectations and a fan base that now expects to win. And I think Tennessee fans have gained so much confidence in the last month and a half. This Vandy game, like...
I feel bad for Vandy.
You better go out there and dominate Vandy, because I think the fans expect it now again for the first time in a while. And again, that's... Juwan Jennings was an absolute monster once again. Three receivers over 100 yards for Tennessee on Saturday night, the first time in school history that's ever happened. Jarrett Garantano looks like he's in complete control now of an offense after the big mistake against Alabama. But by and large, statistically, it's not even close statistically. He gives this team the best chance to win. And he's only a junior. He still has another year. Who knows what the future holds? He's put up with a lot. Mm-hmm. Some of it's his own doing, but he's put up with a lot. And he's been sort of head up and chest out and classy about the whole thing. Now you got a chance to go 7-5, maybe get to 8 wins in a bowl game, and completely change the direction of your program in one season.
You change the narrative. If you win versus Vandy and you get a bowl game, you've changed the narrative of how we look at UT moving forward, because we all were down on them the first half of the season. Like, man, where is this program going?
Yeah.
What's up with Jeremy Pruitt?
And rightly so.
And rightfully so. But he's managed to turn this team around. This team is truly bought into what he's preaching. And I think a lot of it does start with Garantano. I think that was a defining moment. That Alabama game was the defining moment for him from this standpoint. He had to learn he couldn't do it all. He had to learn that it takes a team to win, because when you do something like that, what you're saying is you don't trust your teammates. You don't trust the play calling. You want to do this on your own because you trust yourself more than you trust what's being called and the guys around you. And in a weird way, that maybe had to happen to him. That situation in Alabama had to happen to him. It took for Jeremy Pruitt to sit him down and say, listen, this is not your job anymore. You know, because you can't for some reason do the things that you can't. You are not truly trusting. You say you do, but you're not truly trusting what we're doing and the guys around you.
It's so weird to have come off the bench six straight weeks, but to feel like you were the best option to win in almost all of those games.
It's just
a weird play. Yeah. And now he's back in the lineup, obviously.
He's the best option. And I even said this when he wasn't playing. I said, if you look at his numbers minus the whole Alabama debacle, he gave you the best opportunity to win, and he's proven it now. And like I said, that had to happen.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
You know, that no more Garantano.
Needed a life lesson.
Exactly.
There
no more. Sit down.
Yeah.
And if we need you, you're there. If we don't need you, then okay.
That's a decent defensive team at Missouri. Uh-huh. And on the road, Jim Chaney and Jarrett Garantano carved him up.
Yeah.
Carved him up. Like Palmer played a great game.
400
Callaway
yards
played
passing.
A good game. And Juwan Jennings we can discuss this after the break. I don't know what stratosphere, what atmospheric level he's reaching as far as Vols fans go. Like, let's just talk modern, like, you know, since 2000, let's say, or whatever. Like, you've got the Jason Wittens of the world. You've got, you know, Eric Berry is probably near the top of the list of people that are sort of idolized by Tennessee fans. Mm-hmm. You know, the John Hendersons and Jamal Lewis, obviously you go back to Peyton Manning, but just sort of newer names since 2000. And you probably put Derek Barnett on that list. I don't know where Josh Dobbs would list. I mean, certainly Alvin Kamara probably should have gotten more touches. But Juwan Jennings, for Tennessee fans, I think is entering a category of just one of my favorite players of all time. Like that kind of caliber player on teams that frankly aren't very good.
Yeah.
And he's done it on bad teams. Now, here's the other thing I will say, because I got buddies of mine texting me yesterday like, oh, we're going to the Outback Bowl. Oh, we're going to this game. And Tennessee fans should celebrate right now. They got to a bowl game after the start of the year. They 100% should be celebrating right now. A bowl game is so valuable. You make a check. You get extra practice time. You develop your kids. You get something you can sell to recruits and parents. Everything about making a bowl game is critical for your program. But you still got to go out and beat Vanderbilt. Don't choke. Make sure you handle your business against Vanderbilt. Get off the snide in that rivalry. Then you got the early signing period a couple of weeks after that. Make sure Jeremy Pruitt and his coaching staff is on the grind and hitting the trail hard to really finish and get a really nice early signing period. You've won five straight. You got a chance to win six straight or whatever it is. It's not time to rest. Not until after the early signing period can you take a breath. And if the Tennessee Volunteers beat Vanderbilt, get into a good bowl game, and then finish strong on the recruiting trail, I think Tennessee fans are going to be absolutely obnoxious this offseason. And rightly so, because they've waited a long time for it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I mean, and we could talk about this more because I'm, as a guy that just watches UT from afar, as I do, you know, Vandy, and I've become a fan of Vandy's football team and Derek Mason. You know, I've become a fan of UT and what, you know, Pruitt is doing, but I've become a bigger fan of Juwan Jennings and Garantano and Marquez,
Callaway.
Yep. I've become big fans of those guys because Jennings has one thing that no one can ever take away from him, and I'll tell you what that is.
After the break?
Absolutely.
Oh, there you go. Derek Mason setting up a tease. We'll pay off that tease when we return here on Morning Drive. You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Preds win 4-2 against St. Louis over the weekend. Victor Arvidsson out 4 to 6 weeks.
Bummer.
So a costly win. We'll get to that momentarily here in just a second. But you wanted to explain something that Juwan Jennings, Tennessee wide receiver, has that maybe not everybody has. By the way, real quickly, sixth on the all-time yardage receiving list for the Tennessee Vols. With 100 yards against Vanderbilt, he'd move up to fourth. He would pass Cedric Wilson and old Bob Meacham. He's got 18 touchdowns. He's too shy of 20. He could become only the fourth player in school history to do that. So historically, his numbers are worthy of being amongst some of the best receivers in Tennessee history. Obviously, he did it over 5 years, and I get it that it's been a circuitous route for him. He's overcome a lot, and he's been on some bad teams. But he's been the best player on this team all season, and that's for one reason and one reason alone, in your opinion.
One reason and one reason alone, and it's evident. It is truly evident why he is the best player on this team, and it's because something that you can't coach, something you can't take away from him. He has, Juwan Jennings, has what I call dog in him. D-A-W-G, not D-O-G. D-A.
Not the D-O-G. Georgia. Not the Georgia. Is it the Georgia
D-O-G.
Dog?
It's not D-A-W-G. Yeah, it's not the dogs. It's the dog. He just has this ability to be bigger than everyone else. He's not going to be stopped. He has an attitude that resembles a defensive player that can catch the ball really well and that can run after he catches it. He has a don't quit attitude. He has an attitude, whereas you're not going to bring me down. When he steps on the field, I truly believe that he thinks he's the best player on the field. I truly believe that. No matter who he's playing against, what team it is, I believe when Juwan Jennings steps on the field, he believes in his mind that he's the best guy on the field that day.
Yeah.
And that's half the battle right there. And then he goes out and he proves it, that he's just – physically above everyone else. The guy, it's hard. He runs with purpose. He runs with an attitude. He runs like Adrian Peterson used to run in college.
Yeah,
and angry. He just runs angry, like, no, you're not going to bring me down.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, I've been saying this for years about Titan receivers. And maybe, hopefully, you know, they have two of them in Davis now and Brown.
Brown has a little bit of that dog when he runs with the football after he catches it.
You're not going to bring me down. I am going to hunt you. You're not going to hunt me. I'm coming for you. And you're not going to bring me down. And that's what he has. And that's something that Jeremy Pruitt can't coach. That's something that the receiver coach can't coach. Because we've heard receiver coaches say, hey, that's something that he has to have it. And he has it, truly has it.
I honestly would love to hear from Vols fans, and you know, at Braden Gall if you want, or 615-737-1025. I'd love to hear sort of where does just pure enjoyment factor of watching a player, just a guy you enjoy watching. Because listen, he got the issue where he was away from the team and suspension. Like he's been through a lot to get to this point. But statistically, he's among the top five or six receivers in Tennessee history. He's got a chance to move up even further in those ranks, as I pointed out. I just, in the modern era, let's say again, since about 2000, I use that because it's just an easy, nice number. That's when I started to go to school. But I would say since then, where is he in that top tier of player that people love watching? Again, I would probably put Eric Berry at number one, unless I'm missing somebody. I feel like Eric Berry's in that conversation. Modern Vols that people just love. Derek Barnett, I think, is amongst the greatest Tennessee Vols of all time, in particular the defensive line. Jason Witten probably is in that category recently. But there's a lot of names, and you can forget them. And so, you know, send us some messages, give us a ring, and let us know. Because I'm curious where Vols fans put Juwan Jennings, because I'm willing to bet you he is in this rarefied territory of guys that they just love watching.
Mm-hmm.
You just love watching him play because of the level of competitor that he is. And again, he's 114 yards away from 1,000 yards this season. So if he can get in 114 against Vanderbilt or pick up some loose change in a bowl game, he's probably going to get to 1,000 yards this season. You know, he's got a chance to finish probably third, maybe all time in Tennessee Volunteer receiving history. He's got a chance to catch Peerless Price if he can have two big games the rest of the season. So there is a lot there there for Juwan Jennings on bad teams going through coaching transition and his own personal stuff while he's there. And I think people love a redemption story. And to your point, the way he plays the game is something that everybody loves. Everybody watches that type of attitude and says, that's my dude right there.
It's infectious.
And so, I think Titans receivers could learn something.
Yeah, I guarantee you that Marquez Callaway looks at him, and when he catches the ball, it's like, man, that's how I want to run. He elevates the level of those other receivers in that room.
Ask and you shall receive. David, what's up, David? Welcome to Morning Drive.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well.
I've been going to UT games since about 1987. I went to school there in the 90s when they were really good. And it's been a long 10 to 12 years for Tennessee fans, like a long few years. You hear a lot of talk from the coaches, the players about, hey, we're getting better, we're doing this, that, and then just nothing, there are no wins to back it up. These last few weeks, it's like the first time it's been fun to be a UT fan in a long time. And it's players like Juwan Jennings and Jarrett Garantano that, if you watch, like when Garantano teared up after the game because everything meant so much to him, you see Jennings, when he gets the ball, he's just determined. And we're hopeful, I think, that those types of players and those attitudes is what's going to finally turn this around, and it's going to get down to the younger players, the talented freshmen that they have, that they see this attitude, and they take it to the next level next year and going forward. But I think we're going to look back at Jennings and maybe even Garantano and maybe 4 or 5 years from now and say, those two guys were really maybe what turned this around finally, because they love Tennessee, they love the state of Tennessee, they love Tennessee football, and that's what we've needed for 10 years, and hopefully we're seeing that now. So I was at the game at Missouri two nights ago, and it was fun. It was cold, but it was fun. Finally went to the game. And again, you see this attitude and this personality of this team, and you hope that Pruitt keeps it going and the younger kids pick it up. And again, Jennings and Garantano, they might be the guys that have finally helped turn it around. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, David, I don't thank you for the call. I'm not sure that that's too far off.
No?
I think we're underselling Josh Dobbs and Derek Barnett and the job that those two guys did to get to get that team to two back-to-back 9-win seasons. People forget that happened just recently. And sort of they did it in the same way, right? Just absolute dog in both of those guys. So we'll see what the future holds for this new regime with Jeremy Pruitt. Hibbs wants to finish us off here in hour number two. Hibbs, what's up?
What's up, guys? So from a Tennessee fans' perspective, Braden, I think you and I are about the same age, so I think we're probably going to align here. But like you said, Derek Barnett is probably right there. But when it comes to favorite players, I don't think it has to be the best player on the field, although
right.
Jennings is one of the best players. But I think when it comes from a fan's perspective and a fanatic's perspective, when it comes to college players, you want them to care as much about the team and the program and everything around the program as much as we do as fans.
Yeah.
And you can just tell that Juwan cares. Like, that was Juwan's school from a Tennessee resident. That was where he wanted to go to school. He cares about it. He bleeds orange as much as we bleed orange. And you can just tell when he plays that he's going to put that team on his back and carry them as far as he can carry them. And it's been amazing to watch him this season. And even as through all the down periods of this season, I feel like Juwan's never really quit on the team or anything of that nature. He's sort of one man carried them through this. And it's been fun to watch. I have season tickets, and unfortunately I can't make the game this coming up Saturday, but I really wish I could be there for his senior day. I haven't wanted to be for anybody's senior day in a long time, but I wish I could be there for his.
Yeah, I think that explains the fans' perspective on Juwan Jennings. And I think it's a really fascinating point. I don't doubt that, like, Jerry Jeudy cares about winning. I don't doubt that Trevor Lawrence cares about winning or any of these great players around college football. But there's a difference when you go up one more notch and you care about your program as much as the fans do, because that's hard to do.
Exactly.
It's, you know, a lot of players don't look at it that way, and I understand why, but
it's just a means to an end sometimes.
But to truly love and care deeply about your program the way the fans do, I think, is what can make you a transcendent fan favorite in school history. Sam, real quickly, Sam, we got about 30 seconds here. What's up, Sam?
Yeah, I would just say, back to comparing him to other players, I would put Jennings right behind Al Wilson. That guy would not lose, refused to lose, 98 Florida. It's going back a little bit, but he, to me, was the one guy that would put a team on his back.
Yeah. Thank you, Sam. Yeah. Again, I was just curious. Again, I'd love to hear more. We can get into this a little bit later on, maybe later on this week, and start to look, because that's a guy that I watch him play, and there's just very few people that I enjoy watch playing the game more than Juwan Jennings. There's no question about it. Huge news out of the Nashville Predators. Big win against St. Louis on Saturday night. Obviously, the Titans 42-20 winners over Jacksonville, keeping their playoff hopes alive. So we'll get into a lot of that coming up next hour. But when we return, what took place for the Nashville Predators over the weekend could be a costly, costly win for the Preds. We'll explain when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.